We are joined on the line by Maulana Ibrahim Bama. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of both Radio Islam and Radio Al Ansar.
How is Maulana doing this morning?
Alhamdulillah. Allah has been very kind. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala continue His afiyat, and Allah Ta'ala continues His kindness, and Allah Ta'ala continues His protection over us in a challenging time, in which people are facing different types of challenges. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for everyone.
Ma, the topic that we're speaking about this morning, the Islamic approach to mental health. Now, mental health conditions are increasing worldwide. It could be because of the last 2 years going through this pandemic, some people because of loss of jobs and so on. But it has been something or a challenge that many people are facing. It's something that is becoming more common, mental health conditions, something that needs to be spoken about. And I think over the last few years, there has been a lot of awareness, but something that we need to look at, that from an Islamic approach, how do we deal with this?
Yes, very, very important. I think in every age, there are issues, challenges, and that seems to dominate and seems to come to the fore. One of the challenges that we are facing together with the COVID issue, which alhamdulillah, and we make dua, that Allah make this whole Omicron, which many experts are saying will lead to the end of COVID and reduce it to a much less threatening flu. May Allah make it that way, and Allah make it the means of the end of this pandemic, which has had a great impact upon us and our families and people whom we know, near and dear ones. And I'll just give you an example, Maulana. You know, many years ago I was invited to UK, and I've been going quite frequently, and during the course of one of them, I made some research, and I was doing an article that the Newsweek used to have every year, the edition of the year or the challenges of the year. And way back in the beginning of the century, you know, to in the early years of 2000, they were saying that by the year, was it 2020 or 2030, that mental illness would be the second greatest sickness and illness after coronary diseases. So that time when I read it, I found it to be very strange. And now we're coming to a situation where, according to medical experts, this is one of the growing phenomena that we are facing. I think I need to, from the very outset, say that I'm not giving, a solution with regard to it. I'm not an expert in the field. But I think what I would like to perhaps do today is to look at destigmatization with regard to it, because there's a lot of stigma that is attached to mental health. And maybe during the course of the next week or so, we might be able to get someone to give us a little bit more in terms of in terms of the illness and maybe from a medical point of view. I would also like to end off the program with regard to the holistic approach towards mental health. How do we look upon it? Many times our ulama have told us, we must have a holistic wellness. It's not only about wellness in one field. And maybe towards the end of the program, we will look upon what is the meaning of holistic wellness. And I believe that it is part of the comprehensiveness of Islam, that when we talk about wellness and we talk about health not only physically, but we also talk about it intellectually, emotionally, and more importantly, spiritually. They all go hand in hand in terms of addressing the issue of mental health. So today is not so much about the aspect of the medical terms. Maybe we'll do that next week. But just more to see what is the situation from an Islamic perspective. How do we deal with emotional situations, with emotional distress? is there reference with regard to it in the Quran and Hadith? And I think maybe that is what we are looking at in today's program. Mm.
And Maulana, in terms of the interaction now, we always love to hear from the listeners. Our number 072-786-1548. We'll open the lines as well on 011-854-1548. What type of interaction would we like to get from the listeners, Maulana?
Well, I would like to find out that is what is people's experience in this regard? Have they been able to interact with people who have mental illness, mental issues? And I will go on to say that there are, it's a very broad category. But how have you been dealing with it? How have you been dealing with the aspect of mental health issues with people whom you know? It could be your spouse, it could be your children, it could be your parents, it could be your uncle, aunties. How do you deal with it? And do you find that there is a stigmatization? And how do you deal with the stigma? And that is something that we perhaps need to be looking at. And inshallah, hopefully, we will get. And I would like to see someone coming up and say, see, I had this issue. I confronted it and I dealt with it. And this is how I dealt with it, so that our listeners can also find solace, comfort, and can also find solutions in the way that you had dealt with it.
Yeah, so let us know. That is our topic for this morning on the program, the Islamic approach to mental health, and we'd love to hear from you. The WhatsApp number, or you can give us a call as well, whichever way you'd like to send through your thoughts or your opinion on this topic, please do share it with us. Now, Maulana, you mentioned that even the mental health issue and mental health conditions, there is references from Quran as well and from our teachings that speak about different issues that a person can face.
Yeah, and I think let me first start off a little bit of a small definition. Now, sometimes a person may feel unwell, but doesn't mean that he's got a specific or serious illness. In a similar manner, people may experience poor mental health without mental illness. Right? Mental health is about our mental well-being from our emotional and our mental state. It includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-beings. Right? That would be the mental health. Now, the opposite of it would be mental poor mental health. It includes psychotic disorders without being completely prescriptive or covering every aspect, personality disorders, impulse control disorders, and it goes into broad categories. It also includes anxiety disorders, so people get anxiety attacks, mood disorders. Now, this mood disorders is sometimes called bipolar. And we find it has a great impact upon relationships. And you find it that people, when they do have difficulties in relationship, they do come to the ulama or they ask for separation on the basis of he is bipolar. What is bipolar? It means he's sometimes manic, sometimes he's on a high. Sometimes he's in a depressive mood, he's down, he's low. And when he's manic, he is extremely active, very, very active. He goes to the other extreme. And, of course, when he is in a depressive state, he's in a low that he can't even get up to do his normal chores for the day. So, again, I have been reading that there has also been people who have expressed concern in social media and other articles that sometimes we fall back onto this as a justification, and I think this is also important for me to make mention, and what we do is it could be people falling back to make that an excuse to fulfill their responsibility. What that does also, it also then creates a situation where the people who are really suffering from mental health issues and mental illness, then that particular thing is not looked upon with the seriousness that it deserves. So when people pass off normal, maybe call it inactivity or call it laziness or call it something else as mental health, then the people who are really having mental health issues and really having mental illnesses, they then, when it's brought to the attention of people, people dismiss it and regard it as insignificant because people have been passing off other symptoms to be part of mental health. So I think it's this important. But let me just talk about the broad categories. So the broad categories, anxiety disorders, mood disorders, then there are different manifestations of that. Anxiety, excessive worry, which may result in panic attacks. Then sometimes depression, low mood for a long period of time. Sometimes it is short, sometimes it is long. Obviously, when it is long, you can imagine how it impacts upon the whole home, how it impacts upon the relationship. No one likes to be in a situation where people are constantly lethargic. They can't get up. They don't feel like getting up. They don't feel like doing anything. So that becomes a problem in relationship, etc. And then sometimes, as I said, bipolar indicates two poles, so varying degrees of moods. And then, of course, it also determines mental health, determines how we handle stress, how we relate to making choices. You'll find that people become very, very anxious all of a sudden when there is some responsibility or some decision they have to make. As long as they don't have to make decisions, they're okay. But sometimes when they have to face with a particular situation, they do find it very difficult. So I'm just sort of, Maulana, without going into a complete, this is just some very, very broad understanding of mental health and mental illness.
And I think we as a community and people, we need to understand that if a person is going through one of these conditions, whether it's just anxiety or excessive worry or depression, that this can affect the way that they think, the way that they behave, the way that they interact with other people. And sometimes we are a bit blunt and we tell them, hey, snap out of it, come right now. But it's not that easy for them.
Yes, definitely. And I think this is very important. How do we respond? Today, there is no doubt whatsoever we are stigmatizing this disease. Previously, let us face it, at least now there is an acceptance of it. Previously, when anyone had even a slight bout of mental health or mental health issues, they were put in a separate room. They were not even paraded in front of the community, in front of family. They were dismissed as gandocha. He's gone crazy. And it's so sad because people could have lived very productive lives if we didn't adopt that approach. This has been a situation that we have to keep in mind. So how do we respond when we find people who have depression or we have mental health issues? Now let me give you an example, Ma. When we confront or we get people who are like that in our community, in our family, a typical response would be, pull yourself together. It's only in your head. That's a typical way of, pull yourself together. It is only in your head. It is like telling a diabetic patient, pull your pancreas together. It will create insulin. When someone is in a diabetic situation, and of course diabetic is known as a silent killer and a silent disease which has a great amount of consequences. It has consequences upon the nerve system and upon hearts and everything. It's a very, very serious sickness. So when you see a person with a diabetic, you don't tell him, pull your pancreas together, which is, of course, the root cause from where the disease stems from. You don't tell him, pull your pancreas together. Or you tell a person who is, having heart problems, pull your heart together, you will get better. I mean, he goes through a process. Mm. He goes through a medical process. Why do we then tell a person who is going through depression, pull yourself together, it's only in your head? No, it's not necessarily only in your head. It is something that you need to deal with it. Sometimes you need to deal with it medically. Sometimes you need to deal with it psychologically. Whatever it is. you need to go to the experts, or you need to take some intervention, whatever the intervention you agree upon. But just to tell a person that pull yourself together, no, there's nothing wrong with you, just pull yourself together, I think it is, we're not doing a service to the person, we are doing a disservice.
We are discussing the Islamic approach to mental health this morning on the social program. Continue to send through your messages on 072-786-1548. After the ad break, the lines will also be open on 011-854-1548. We're going to take an ad break, and after that, it's the 9:30 headlines. We'll continue with this discussion after that. This week on the social program, we are speaking about the Islamic approach to mental health. The lines are open. You can WhatsApp us as well on 072-786-1548. Call us on 011-854-1548. Maulana, there's a number of responses that have come through, and I'll try to get through most of them. The one, Maulana, that quite a few listeners have mentioned is saying that we find that in our community, speaking about mental health issues is a taboo subject. Many people don't believe in it, and they even go on to say that this is something that is found in the Indian communities. We should understand that mental health issues are as important as your physical health. And they say that they've been living with a parent that has had mental health issues, but they're in denial. We all have to walk on eggshells around them. It really takes a toll on us, takes a toll on our kids as well. And at times we feel that we have to parent the parent. Many people don't want to speak about it and don't want to get help because they feel that once they get help, they'll be labeled that this person is mad or this person is not all okay.
Yes, that is the thing that, and I try to give this example that we sometimes incorrectly respond, pull yourself together, it's all in your head. That's not the right way of dealing with it. We need to be sympathetic, and I will give examples with regard to it. One other thing that happens, Maulana, is that the moment something like this happens, we refer it to jadu. And I'm not denying jadu, because jadu is a reality which Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has made mention. And in Sahih Bukhari, there is references with regard to it, right? And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with it. But, you know, you can't put everything through to jadu. And maybe to emphasize my point, I would like to say a somewhat humorous incident. And that is, you know, there was a woman who was having, you know, stomach problems. And she went to an amil, insisting to the amil that someone made jadu on her. That's why her stomach is paining. And she has stomach disorders. And when she insisted, the amil looked upon her. And the amil was someone who was somewhat experienced. Sometimes you have amil who understand. Sometimes you have amils who will be reckless, and they cause mayhem in families. They unnecessarily put things into jadu because it gives them relevance and it gives them money. And sometimes they would even name people in the family, causing great distress and great problems in the family. We find this happening all the time. And sometimes they have, will tell you that, listen, this is not something that needs that type of treatment. It needs medical treatment because you are medically ill. So the amil realized that there's not any jadu that caused the stomach problems, is that the woman is pregnant. Now, when we normally say jadu, we normally say barnuche. Mm. It is outside and external influences. So the amil told the woman, barnu nimle andarnuche. It's not outside external influence, it's inside influence. You are pregnant. So, you know, I mean, sometimes you will get a situation that even normal situation will say barnuche. So even a woman is pregnant, we'll make a story with regard to making it into, jadu. So we need to be very careful with regard to it. And I said a similar thing is, how do we tell the diabetic, pull your pancreas together and start creating insulin? We can't do that. And we can't do the same with regard to someone who has mental health issues, to say that, no, it's something in your head. Just come out of it. Now, the one thing that we have to also say, sometimes it is implied when you talk about mental challenges that you don't have faith. Right? Now, how many times do we tell a person who has heart problems, you don't have iman? How many times do we tell a person who is diabetic, you don't have iman? How many times do we tell a person who has got other mental, physical illness that you don't have iman? Why is it that a person have mental health, we say you don't have iman? Where did we come up with that? Why don't we use the same criteria with regard to other illness? So if a person has an illness, what has it got to do with his iman? Now let me also say, in the Quran, there are situations where the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam had emotional challenges. And how did Allah Ta'ala deal with it? That is something for us to look at. You know, so can I continue? Any other feedback from the listeners?
Basically touching on the same points that Maulana has made, that sometimes you go through a difficult period in life, like one of the sisters mentioning that it's been 25 years since their divorce, but because of the extent of abuse, they still can't get a good night's sleep. The grief affects them. So just sharing their experiences that in a situation like that, a person needs to go for treatment, a person needs to go for counseling, and it does help a little bit. We shouldn't always feel that, no, I can deal with this, or this is something that I shouldn't mention to people, but rather we shouldn't be in denial, but speak out about it.
Seek out help if you feel that you need assistance. And sometimes it health, that help can go a long way. I've seen it in my family when people did, seek out help. It has had tremendous positive consequences. So, and again, I'm not denying the aspect of jadu, but let us keep it in its proper perspective. Now, let us look at this whole particular aspect in the Quran about Hazrat Maryam. And maybe there are, I suppose, maybe it's such a topic that maybe people won't want to come on air to discuss it. But if someone can come and say that, listen, this is how I dealt with it. It might be a point of, it might be a situation where it will encourage people to come out and deal with it and confront it. Let us look at Hazrat Maryam. Now, Hazrat Maryam, there's a whole surah in the Quran that deals with Hazrat Maryam. That's Surah Maryam, 16th surah of the Holy Quran. Allah Ta'ala chose this Mubarak and blessed woman to manifest one of his greatest miracles, the conception and the birth of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, miraculously without the agency and without the aid and the means of a father and a male. Hazrat Jibreel came, blew into her sleeve, and immediately she conceived. Now when she conceived and she is pregnant, now obviously in an era in which the righteousness dominated, she was in Jerusalem, Al-Quds, which was the markaz and the center of spirituality and nabuwat at that time. How does she, who is from a very, very prominent and pious family, Ali Imran, the family of Imran, in the house of Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam, a prophet of Almighty Allah, how does she explain becoming pregnant without marriage? So Allah Ta'ala recalls her words in the Holy Quran, Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha wa kuntu nasiyam mansiya. If only I could have been dead before this day, and I could have been lost and forgotten. No one could have taken my name. No one would have known me. No one would have been able to talk about me. No one, and I would have been completely, forgotten. I would have been completely away. No one could have taken my name for me to face this challenge. And we can imagine that anxiety because of coming from a pious background and having to explain that I am pregnant. How do you explain it? Subhanallah. Now, how did Allah Ta'ala, approach it? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell her that no, these particular anxieties of yours are unfounded? It's in your head. No. How did Allah Ta'ala refer to it? Because Allah Ta'ala has chosen her to become the means and manifestation of one of the greatest miracles. Look at how Allah Ta'ala referred to it. فَنَادَهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا. Allah Ta'ala appointed an angel to call out to her. أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي. Don't grieve. O Maryam, don't grieve, don't worry. قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيَّةِ. I go to a place where I have made arrangements for a clean stream of fresh water. And next to that, there is a date palm. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. And shake that tree to سَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُتَبًا جَنِيَّةِ. Fresh kajur will come down. And now we learn that fresh khajur for pregnant women is one of the best things to have because it is nutritious. Fakuli washrabi. Subhanallah. Manana, look at these words. Eat, drink from there, waqarri aina, and comfort your eyes. Take comfort. Be comfortable. Be tranquil. Fakuli, and people are going to come and ask you, Maryam, what is happening to you? You know, why are you silent? Explain to us your situation. There are signs of pregnancy upon you. How did this happen? Right. In fact, I don't want to go into that, but because I read a book on Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and the carpenter, Yusuf the carpenter, noticed this, and he made mention to Maryam, can a seed grow without a means? You know, and Maryam said, yes, if Allah Ta'ala desired. And Yusuf the carpenter realized that this is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I read it in one book, which was a PhD thesis of one alim. But anyway, be as it may, now, فَإِمَّا تَرَيِنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا, if anyone comes to you, tell them, I got a soul, I'm fasting, that I'm not speaking today. فَقُلْ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِرَحْمَانِ صَوْمًا. Now, that time there was a type of fast that just as you don't eat and drink and stay away from intimacy in our Sharia, in that Sharia you had a fast that together with that you don't speak for the whole day. Sometimes they think it will do us good also, you know. And I think why it's so amazing is because many of the negativities that we get with regard to people being in problem is because people speak irresponsibly to people who are ill, who have mental illness and mental health issues. We don't realize what we are speaking. So it would be such a good thing that, you know, you don't speak. You know, so look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, dealt with Hazrat Maryam's anxiety. He didn't tell her that, no, you don't have iman. Why must you be anxious? He didn't tell her that, why must you have this anxiety? You are from such a great, pious family. No, he accepted, Allah Ta'ala accepted that she has emotional challenges. And there are reasons for her to have that emotional challenges, which I explained. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her comfort. What beautiful comfort. This is the way we are supposed to deal with people who have these type of issues.
And there are many such examples like that in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about. You look at the story of Yaqub alayhi salam as well. The year that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had lost his uncle and his wife, it's known as
Amr. That one is very, very interesting. You know, is that that one was at Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam. When I look at the Holy Quran, وَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفَ. You know, he lost Yusuf alayhi salam, and it's amazing that there isn't mention in the Quran how he spent that way the historian tell us 40 years with regard to the separation of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But when it came closer to the time of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam revealing himself to Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, then all of a sudden, there's a great amount of thinking of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya asafa ala Yusuf. You know, oh my regret over Yusuf. Wabyadat aynahu min al-huzn. Now, I want everyone now to think about, I want the listeners to think about this. This is a great Nabi of Allah. And he's saying, Allah Ta'ala says, wabyadat aynahu min al-huzn. His eyes had become white. His vision was impacted negatively out of sadness from the separation of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. What I'm saying is that there are emotional challenges people deal with. You can't dismiss it. Allah Ta'ala made mention of it. وَبْيَتَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. His eyes became white out of huzn, out of sorrow. How do we just deal with people's anxiety, they worry, they concern, their sadness, the emotional challenges by just brushing it aside? Ya Allah, how can we be so heartless? How do we do that? When look at how Allah Ta'ala in the Quran makes mention with regard to people's challenges. And how Allah Ta'ala makes mention with regard to the emotional challenges of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. وَبْيَتَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. His eyes became white out of tearing and out of sadness and sorrow, subhanAllah. It was only when Allah Ta'ala, then, you know, it is so amazing that when eventually Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was told, when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam revealed himself to the brothers and said, I am Yusuf. And when they looked closely, they said, yeah, you are Yusuf. And he forgave them, and he gave his shawl when he came to know that his father is blind. وَلَمَّا فَصَلْتِ الْعِيرُ قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ. And when they left from Kan'an, they left from Egypt, coming to Kan'an, the house of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, then Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam all of a sudden tells his people, tells the companions who are around him, إِنِّي لَعَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفْ. I can smell the fragrance of Yusuf. And they tell him, إِنَّكَ لَفِي ذَلَالِكَ الْقَدِيمِ. You are gone astray. He's gone for 40 years. Where are you going to get Yusuf? He's gone. He's nowhere to be found. 40 years, he's not here. Where are you going to say that you can smell the fragrance of Yusuf? فَلَمَّا أَنْ جَاءَ الْبَشِيرُ أَلْقَاهُ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ فَارْتَدَّ بَصِيرًا قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ. So when they came and said, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is alive, he said, did I not tell you? إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you do not know. Allah Ta'ala told me. Look at now the beauty of the whole situation. That when he was just few kilometers away, when they put him in the well, that time Yaqub alayhi salam didn't know where Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is. And that is because Allah didn't give him the knowledge. Then after 40 years, when no one thought that you can think of Yusuf alayhi salam, or the mere fact, or the mere mentioning of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was something that was regarded to be, you know, you are gone astray. That time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him and he said, I can smell the fragrance of Yusuf alayhi salam. So Allah Ta'ala gives knowledge to his Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam according to his wisdom, right? And then he put his, the shawl or the whatever the was put on his eyes, فَرْتَدَّ basira, and he got back again and he could see his, and Allah Ta'ala restored his eyesight. And of course, I will just maybe Musab, although it is not part of it, but I think this is so beautiful that Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam then asked his sons when they brought the news of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and Mufti Shafiz Ab rahmatullah alayhi has made mention of it, if I'm not mistaken, quoting Qurtubi, that he asked, how is my Yusuf? I went, he's alive. How is my Yusuf? I mean, for 40 years I didn't hear about him. Now you are telling me that he's alive. How is he? So they said, he is the most powerful man in Egypt. He makes the decision. He's like the king of Egypt. And Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam replied, I'm not asking you whether he's the king of Egypt. I'm asking you, how is his iman? How is his righteousness? How pious is he? Is he still upon iman? Ya Allah, that is a mizaj and the temperament of a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So what I'm trying to say is, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, وَبْيَتَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. His eyes became white out of sorrow, out of sadness. And Allah Ta'ala gave him comfort. Didn't tell him that you are not, you don't have faith. Why you are Nabi, why must you be sad? Ya Allah, how do we tell people like that? How do we tell people like that? It's only in your head, you've got no iman. Ya Allah, where do we tell people? From where do we get that?
SubhanAllah, that there is a way to deal with this, and we should really be conscious of the words that we use when we are speaking to someone that is going through these type of challenges. Marana, a message that has come through here from one of the listeners saying that a very interesting topic, and they go on to say that I'm a registered counselor and I see a huge misconception with regards to what counseling or therapy actually is. Many, especially in our society, are of the opinion that going for counseling implies having the patient conditioned with Western thoughts and ideas and totally negating one's spiritual ideas or ideals. There's a lot of educating that is needed into what therapy and what counseling actually entails.
No, Jazakallah. I think it's something that maybe it's good to bring this particular. I gave a talk about this recently, and I said one of the things that we have to deal with it is we deal with it holistically. So when we deal with it, we look at our comprehensive well-being, physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual well-being. And counseling might help in some of those aspects to give us well-being, in perhaps emotional well-being, one of the other aspects. So I think in terms of the solution, maybe we will talk about it next week with some professionals or something like that, but maybe we will look at it in that particular light, and I jazakallah for that particular intervention.
And another one that has come through here, Maulana, that saying that one of the things that do help, like we say, we have to look at it from a holistic point of view, is that there are certain du'as, there are certain times when you need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this will certainly help a person that is going through these challenges.
Definitely, definitely. But also again, let us not also, sometimes we don't tell a heart patient, go and make du'a only.
Right. Yeah,
together with the dua, we tell him that go and take whatever you need to take. You know, stay away from whatever red meat because you got cholesterol. We tell them that, isn't it? That is part of, and that is what Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was having dates when he had fever. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ali, don't have this date. It is not good for you in this illness of yours. Right? And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his family members to make him harisa, which is very good for that. So you don't tell a person, only make dua and don't take the necessary precaution. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ali, don't have this date. Because for you at this stage, it's not good for you to have it. What I'm saying is that together with the dua, and I think, as I said, the four aspects of wellness, the physical, the emotional, the intellectual, and the spiritual. And inshallah, I will hope during the course of this program or the next program, we will be able to deal with that, inshallah, also. Mm.
Ma, we've got a few minutes left on the program. Anything else Ma would like to add on?
Yes, I mean, see our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And, the fact that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had one year in his life, which is known as Amul Huzan, the year of sorrow, you know. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzan. If you look at the morning dua that people put together, by and large, you will find this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzan. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from worry and anxiety and sorrow. Right? And why I find it also very difficult, why we as Muslims are stigmatizing this when we are pioneers in this. The first psychiatric ward known as Daru Shifa was built by a Muslim physician in the 8th century, right? Which we dealt with this in a holistic manner. Abu Bakr Razi, after he studied medicine, constructed the largest dedicated psychiatric ward, right? Amazingly, after the holistic treatment in this ward, the hospital would give the people a stipend upon discharge, which today some people and some experts and Muslim psychiatrists, they say it is what is today called a relapse prevention strategy. Abu Zaid al-Balkhi, right, he wrote a book in which he diagnosed obsessive compulsive disorder, which is people who know it, and sometimes people have to live with spouses who have this, it becomes very challenging, almost exactly as described by modern psychiatry. So it's time for us to do away with the stigma and rather reach out to help those who are facing these type of problems and situations rather than stigmatizing.
Mm. And Mala, just one last interaction that has come through here as well, is saying that we need to be careful in the way that we speak to our children as well, that we've seen an increase in mental health conditions amongst children. As parents, the way that we speak to them, or when they come to speak to us about an issue, we need to listen to them. We need to be conscious of what they are saying, because sometimes you can pick up on the issue of what they are struggling with.
Very, very important. Because sometimes in what the children are telling us, there might be great amount of messages. Sometimes they all of a sudden become withdrawn, find out why they become withdrawn, in an age where harassment, different types of harassments, bullying, and apologies for making mention with regard to it, but sexual harassment of youngsters and many times sexual harassment of small children happens mostly and majority of the time by people whom they are aware of, their own family members. So sometimes listen to what the children have got to tell you. Don't dismiss it as children's talk. Sometimes there's great messages in what they are telling you.